So maybe a good way to hear about the emerging role of PARP inhibitors in prostate cancer is to hear about your patient in his late 60s.
So this gentleman was diagnosed around 2004. So he would have been in his mid-50s roughly when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. It was a Gleason 6, and he was treated with brachytherapy. He was evaluated by urology for erectile dysfunction, and this was about, 10 years later. And at that time, they were evaluating him for that, and because of his history of prostate cancer, they actually checked a PSA. And so 10 years later, his PSA was 32. And a prostate biopsy was done, which now showed a Gleason 9, 5 plus 4. So by any criteria, is a rather aggressive histology.
I'm just kind of curious, in your own mind, did you view this as a second primary or as a recurrence?
You could argue that it could be a second primary, or you could argue that it was present in the first place and somehow was not picked. Because really, you're really doing biopsies, and the biopsies are very focal in their nature. And I would imagine in 2004, he probably got only 6 biopsies.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I guess I was just theoretically wondering what the likelihood is that it would be a recurrence in the radiation field.
I think it's probably more like a new primary potentially.
I don't know. How often do you see this delay of a was he getting PSAs over the years?
He got PSAs, and I think after a while he kind of skipped them because he had been 10 years out with nothing going on.
Right. So I guess you worked him up at that point.
So, yeah, actually, it was incidental. It was essentially went to see a urologist for erectile dysfunction, was evaluated, and because of his history, a PSA was done. And so that's what was found. And then imaging was done because of the Gleason and the PSA and so on. And he was found to have focal metastatic disease in the bone. So he underwent hormone therapy. And then basically about 2 years later, he developed disease progression.
One other point before you go on. So his initial treatment, was that done in the community or you treated him?
No, it was in the community.
Because this case sounds exactly like the first case you just presented. I mean, not exactly, but it is a focal bone met.
Yes.
And not only that, I mean, he also didn't get anything in addition to ADT.
Correct. And remember, 2015, the Latitude data was not available.
Oh, this is 2015.
2015. The gentleman has personal preference not to get chemo. And so when he was treated, and because he didn't have like a lot of disease, he basically went on just regular LHRH therapy.
Oh, that's interesting. So it was discussed with him, but he chose not to be treated?
I don't know that specifically things were discussed, but as of today, when we discussed with him options of treatment, because he's now, he's progressed multiple lines and it's time for him to get chemo, he had his preference not to get chemo. So my guess is this, it's quite possible that at the time it was either not discussed, or if it was discussed, he might have declined. But I don't know for a fact.
So in any event, he gets started on ADT.
Correct.
And then what happens?
And then basically he develops PSA progression. And that was around April of 2017. So he gets referred to me, which is actually about a year after I landed in Chicago, and evaluated him, and we imaged him, and he clearly had multiple bony metastases, bone-only predominantly disease. And at that time, he also underwent germline testing, and he was found to have BRCA2. So whomever saw him just before me, because of the emerging data on the potential impact for family members and so on, and for potential therapeutics, he underwent the BRCA testing.
Did he have a family history?
He had some family history of prostate cancer, yes.
Really? Interesting.
And actually, he had a family history of prostate and of breast cancer, which was even more of a reason to do that.